Back to the Bible. Only that pleases the Savior. Jesus now calls his own. Obey his voice today. Often our fathers longed when they dwelt in Babel. We now reach Zion, and where unity is enthroned. Back to the Bible, to the light in the Word. This shall be our slogan forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Back to the Bible, where all divisions cease. Fleeing from Babel to Zion. Oh, what a blessed cause. Oh, how long we sought, longing for the light. But now in the evening we found it, just as the Word promises. Back to the Bible, to the light in the Word. This shall be our slogan forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Back to the Bible. Obeying the Lord's call. To the words of the Savior, which we so gladly obey. Never again to depart from him who so gloriously delivers us, heavenly nature on earth. Oh, what a bliss! Back to the Bible, to the light in the Word. This shall be our slogan forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Dear brothers, dear sisters, I would like to welcome everyone to the first meeting in Zurich in the new year. We are already in a new year again. The old one has passed. But we are not looking back. We are looking forward. Just as the Lord led us last year, he will lead us with a safe hand this year. We thank the Lord that we still have the opportunity to meet here in Zurich to hear the true Word of God. We thank the Lord for his love and his goodness. I would like to read a word from Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 from verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. We read in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We thank the Lord that we can always hear his word in our midst, because his word is life for us. His word is the truth. We thank the Lord and want to praise and glorify him. I would like to pray. Faithful Lord, we thank you for this word that we have read. It is truth, nothing but truth. We thank you, faithful Lord, that you will continue to accompany and protect us this year. To you be praise, glory, and thanksgiving. We trust in you, Lord Jesus, for thy word is truth. Thy word is yes and amen. For you are still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon, that you bless us, that you, Lord Jesus, open our hearts, that your true word has a place in our hearts, that we can keep this word that we hear this afternoon in our hearts. Faithful Lord, praise, glory, and thanks be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I also greet you very warmly from Zurich and wish everyone, really everyone, to the ends of the earth, God's richest blessing. We all know the divine message is addressed to the elect, to all those who are waiting for the Lord to return and take us home into his glory. And we have been given the great privilege of not just speaking about a message, but of being able to proclaim the original divine message of salvation. Brother Keller has read a wonderful word. And when we read the 31 chapters of Proverbs, such wisdom has really been summarized that includes all areas of a person's life. It is just tremendous what Solomon said. And even the Queen of Sheba was so overwhelmed that she had to say, not half of what I have witnessed has been told me. But we will now go straight into the scriptures. Everyone can read the chapter again and take it to heart. I'm interested in the New Testament to bring the message to the church. And you will be surprised. The first gift of the Spirit that is mentioned is divine wisdom. I will ask Brother Borg to briefly read the marvelous word from 1 Corinthians 12. Here you go. We read from 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Thanks be to the Lord. The one Holy Spirit works all this in the New Testament church. And we all want to experience a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That all these gifts, the divine wisdom, the divine knowledge, the divinely wrought faith, all gifts are gifts of the Holy Spirit. that have been given to the church for edification, so that all members are truly imbued by the Spirit of God. But since we heard about the wisdom of Solomon in the opening word, it simply occurred to me that divine wisdom was given to the church. And be honest, we all need divine wisdom, divine knowledge. We only need what comes from God. Everything of our own has no place in the kingdom of God. We can leave that at home. And that is why we emphasize that all gifts of the Spirit are guided, worked, and operated in the church by the Spirit of God. And then, after all the gifts has been spoken and written about, comes the climax. And if I knew all mysteries and had all faith, but did not have the love of God, I would be nothing. Today, we will emphasize the love of God and simply say and testify from the heart that in the kingdom of God, everything is done in love with all the redeemed. Where there is no divine love, there is no God. And that is why we will read a few important scriptures from the letter of John. And we will go into this briefly. Brothers and sisters, this is the time of the total restoration of all that was in the early church. All the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit, everything must be restored as it was in the beginning. And then even the world will recognize, if we have love for one another, that we are true children of God. But let's read a couple of scriptures. Here you go. We read from 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16. 1 Peter 1, from verse 14 to 16. I read verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. This is an exhortation that applies to all of us, without exception, that we consecrate our lives to the Lord, so that He can truly renew everything and make people of us on whom God's well-pleasing rests. For to this end we live in the time of grace, in the day of salvation. And that's why it is written, in the day of salvation The Lord has helped us. Has He helped you? Has He helped me? Has He been able to do anything in you, in me? May God grant grace. We read on. We read from 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Blessed and praised be the Lord. In all your behavior, so not just on Sunday at a church service, but also in everyday life, in all your behavior, pleasing to God, in accordance with God's will, that we not only bear witness to being born again, that everything has become new, but that it is indeed so, that we may live out the life of our Lord by grace. And as we said before, that everything we do and say may be embedded in the love of God. Here you go. We read from 1 John 2, verse 10. 1 John 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. To this we all simply say, Amen. He that loveth his brother really, sincerely, and honestly, there is no offense in him. And even if he sees something in his brother, forgiveness and love will simply triumph, and forgiveness and grace will bring victory by grace. But let us read on from 1 John 2, verse 11. 1 John 2, verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. This is a very serious word. Here the term brother is used. We can be a brother and say we love, but it doesn't have to be that way. And if we want to be honest and look around, how many different directions there are within the so-called message, where people don't greet each other for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, don't know each other, but all are brothers, all believe the message, all want to take part in the rapture, and it's nothing but self-deception. You simply have to say that clearly, and the deception already begins in the interpretations of the message and the statements of Brother Branham and the various scriptures. Nothing must be interpreted. Everything must be believed as it is written. Only in this way we can achieve unity of faith and knowledge of God and become one heart and one soul. And then there are not four or eight different groups in the various churches, but one church of the living God that stands as a foundation of truth and can bear witness to what God has done and continues to do in our time. Here you go. We read from 1 John 3, verse 15. 1 John 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. This word is also so profound. We have received eternal life. But if brotherly love is no longer there and hatred takes over, we lose eternal life. We have read that if we do not love our brothers, but hate them, we will not keep it within us as a lasting possession. And be honest, anyone who loves his brother will not spread evil about him, will not tell lies about him. He will simply, as we have read, love and believe from the heart and thus do the will of God practically, really live it out in a practical way and not just talk about theory. May God really give grace that the calling out is real, that our faith is genuine, that every revelation of the Word that the Lord has given us is true, that everything has been given to us by God. And as I said before, that it is embedded in love. Here you go. We read from 1 John 3, verses 11 and 12. 1 John 3, verses 11 and 12. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. This word must also go to our hearts. It is not enough to speak of love. And as the serious admonition was given here, do not love in the way of Cain. My God, what is still found among believers today? How many love in the manner of Cain, by slandering their brother and spreading all sorts of things about him. And brothers and sisters, the time is simply here. The coming of the Lord is just around the corner. We must come to realize that everything God asks of us is really to be found in us with truthfulness. And the time has come to recognize what the Lord is doing now and what we must receive a full share of. So not in the way of Cain. And we have read it. He who does not love his brother is a murderer. So may God just give grace. We read on. We read from 1 John 4, verse 20. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? This too is such a serious word. One can speak of the love of God. You can say, oh God, I love you. And then, what about love for your brother? How can we? And there is the word certainly. No one can love God whom he does not see. If he does not love his brother, whom he sees. I just had it on my heart to read these scriptures, which really hit the nail on the head and have so much to say to us all, so that we can examine ourselves. Who wants to say, I love God, and has had no fellowship with his brother for 20 years, and only speaks evil of him? Everything just lies and deception. And self-deception will prove to be the worst at the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I ask God to give you all brothers and sisters worldwide, the grace to love God sincerely, to love every brother and sister sincerely, and just as we can say nothing bad about God, say nothing bad about a brother or sister, that we are truly taught by God, guided by God, and then divine wisdom will be with us. And then the gifts of the Spirit, as we have read, and the fruits of the Spirit will be manifested. Let us read on. We read from Colossians 3, verse 14. Colossians 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Amen, we say to this. Put on love, which is the bond of divine perfection. And only those who are perfect will enter there. Only those who are truly ready will be there. And that is why we must emphasize these things with all seriousness, so that we are indeed a well-prepared people, that we are not just talking about a message, but have realized that it is the divine message of salvation that we carry, and that God wants to reveal everything in us, the true, new, divine life, so that the perfect and righteous and good will of God can be done through us. That is why we are here and are at God's disposal. Thy will be done in our lives. Thy will be done through the church. Be with us. Make all things new in us. And then we will go forward with the Lord. Here you go. We read from Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Through the finished redemption, we have received forgiveness, reconciliation, grace, and salvation, and have found peace with God. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, rule our hearts and minds. Our hearts and our minds, so that our minds are also divinely ordered. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, there are such serious scriptures that we cannot and must not pass over, but must examine ourselves before God and say, Beloved Lord, work in me all things that are necessary, that when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel is heard and you come again, I may be ready to be there. Please, that we not only speak of the messenger and the message, but that we be brought into full agreement with God and God's word, and that the peace of Christ, which is truly higher than all thinking, than all reason, can lead and guide us. Then we are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and all who are led by the Spirit of God have peace with God. Here you go. We read from 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all slander. We also say amen to this. Oh, how God means well with us, that he has left us his word with all its teachings with all its admonitions, so that we can always look into the mirror of the Word. We must also put aside the desire to slander. I don't want to go into it, but when I think about the slander that has been spread about me worldwide since 1979, I can only shake my head and say, "My God, is such a thing even possible?" But it becomes obvious whether we love each other. If you really love your brother, then you won't spread a single slander about him. Then there will be no desire to slander in you. It is like an addiction in people, and it must not be in true believers. They must put off the old man and put on the new man who has been created after God's righteousness and holiness. And for this we are thankful that it is possible and that the Lord God will work it in all of us. Here you go. We read from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Oh, thanks be to the Lord. This is one of the most important scriptures. To not go beyond what is written. And now, if we may mention again how many directions there are, and all of them have gone beyond what is written. And therefore, the divisions, the splits, if everyone only says what is written here, then we are one heart and one soul. But if one person goes on here, another there, one preaches this, another that, that's where all the divisions come from. And I say to you, the time has come when I must say to all brothers, to all ministering brethren, in all seriousness, in the name of Jesus Christ, examine yourselves. Do not go beyond what is written in the Word. For the judgment of God will be upon you, along with those who have been led astray by you. For all who go beyond what is written lead people astray. And that is why we have the different directions, and it's all deceptions. Only when God's word is proclaimed and believed as it is written, do we become one heart and one soul. Please, do not go beyond what is written. It is, "Thus saith the Lord," and addressed to all ministering brethren and to all listeners, not to receive and believe anything that cannot be read from the Bible. May God grant it, and He will grant it to all the elect. Here you go. We read from 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Thanks be to the Lord. At that time, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus. And the word command is used here, that you may command those who present strange doctrines. In the name of the Lord, I command all the brothers worldwide not to present any more strange teachings, but only what is written in the Bible 100%. So, I command that all those who present strange doctrines be silenced once and for all, and that all deceptions and all divisions and all directions cease, and that we all return to God and to His Word, and become one heart and one soul. Just as Paul used the word command back then, I must do the same today in the name of the Lord. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, all brothers worldwide, to stop presenting strange doctrines. This is thus saith the Lord in His word. Please submit to it. The time is serious. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Here you go. We read from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Thanks be to the Lord. Our Lord has become like us, so that we may become like Him in the resurrection. We are so grateful to God for all the scriptures, and we are now reading the last one. Here you go. We read from Hebrews 10. Verses 35 to 37. Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 37. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. After ye have done the will of God. It is very difficult for me to make this remark, but I have been asked to address a word, a serious word, to all the brethren who are presenting perverse teachings, and especially to the brethren who propagate polygamy. It is difficult for me because I do not know how to categorize such brothers. Have they never read the Word? Did the Lord God create two or three Eves for Adam? No, one Eve. Didn't our Lord say in Matthew 19, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not cleave to his wives, but cleave to his wife. Don't we have all the scriptures that tell us exactly what God's word says? And therefore, all these brothers must also be told once and for all, with certainty and with a threat, that they will be punished before God and can have no part in the rapture because they've presented heresies. What do you brothers want in Africa? Who do you spread this teaching? Do you want to go to bed with two or three women? Have you lost your minds? What is wrong with you? Why don't you come back to your senses and to the Word of God? Oh, I don't know, but it just had to be said. And I'm assuming that God will give grace. We could read all the other scriptures. Let the husband love his wife as the Lord loved the church, and let the wife be subject to her husband. You could read all the scriptures, but I repeat myself and command all the brethren not to proclaim a false doctrine even once, but only what they can proclaim from the Holy Scriptures, namely the Thus saith the Lord in His Word. Let us summarize. Brother Keller chose chapter 3 from Proverbs in his opening word, and we have all recognized it. No other man on earth had as much wisdom as Solomon. So many proverbs, so many instructions, so much advice and counsel as he gave. And as already mentioned, the Queen of Sheba was overwhelmed, and we are all overwhelmed when we read all this. But what we are really concerned with in the New Testament is not just to receive instruction from outside, but to have received divine instruction within us, and to order our personal lives just as biblically as we have ordered our spiritual lives biblically. So, let's summarize. God has sent Brother Branham in our time with a last message. And let me emphasize that. We are so thankful for the German translation of the Bible. It is not just a message, but a message of salvation, right down to Matthew 24, 14, that this message of salvation would be preached to all nations for a witness. Today too, this divine message of salvation has been preached to all nations for a witness, and everyone in all nations who belong to the people of God will listen to what God has said, as far as Revelation 14, verse 6, that says, the everlasting message of salvation. Please, beloved brethren, from today onwards, proclaim only the everlasting message of salvation, a message that does not contain the salvation of God is of no use to anyone. The divine message of salvation has placed what happened on the cross of Calvary at its center. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believing in the finished work of redemption, not still believing outwardly, as all churches believe in Jesus Christ, that is not enough, but believe in Jesus Christ, who accomplished the total redemption through his blood on the cross of Calvary. We don't just generally believe, as in Christianity, at Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, and Pentecost. All are celebrating these feasts. We believe in the Savior. We believe in the finished work of redemption. We believe every word of God. We believe in all the blessings that the Lord has given us. How could God not also give us everything with him? So, the Lord sent Brother Branham with the original divine message of salvation that was to forerun the second coming of Christ. And the Lord used me, after Brother Branham's passing, to carry this divine message of salvation to the whole world. And nobody has an excuse. All have heard. All can make their decision. John the Baptist knew which scriptures applied to him, whether it was Malachi 3, verse 1, whether it was Malachi 4, verse 5, first part, and he himself could say in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, I am the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. In verse 23 of John 1, he referred to the scripture from Isaiah 40, verse 3. Brother Branham could refer to the scriptures that applied to him. And brothers and sisters, I just say this in all humility, because I have experienced it. It was the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. He said to me, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. You will hear it again in heaven. It is the absolute truth. And that is why I have never once taken part in false doctrines, but only preached the word. And that's exactly what the Lord said. I have ordained you according to 2 Timothy 4 to preach the word. For there it is written, preach the word in season and out of season, for the time will come when strange doctrines will be presented. But let me say this very clearly. In the midst of all the strange doctrines, the true biblical teaching is proclaimed, and all who are of God hear God's holy word. And I could come to the experiences and to what Brother Branham said. May the faithful God bless you all, be with you, help all the ministering brethren in all peoples and tongues. May all be blessed in Switzerland, in Austria, in all neighboring countries, in all of Europe, and in the whole world. May all who belong to the Bride of the Lamb be prepared. As we heard in the last scripture, for yet a little while, then he that shall come will come and will not tarry. We are not waiting in vain. We are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And we expect it to happen in our time, because the signs of the times speak a clear language. When you see all these things, lift up your heads, for the redemption of your bodies is drawing near. Dear brethren, who minister with the word, be blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. Be obedient, come back to the word. And all you, beloved brothers and sisters, who belong to the Bride Church, God bless you, and may He grant grace that all may experience their preparation, for it is written, and His Bride has made herself ready. May this devotion also serve to prepare us to meet the Bridegroom. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Oh, come with me to Golgotha and see what happened there on the cross for you. There, one suffered pain and prayed for you, despised, mocked, and ridiculed by men. The Lord died for you. Oh, come with me to Golgotha. The Savior and Redeemer of the world is bleeding there. And from this man, whom you despised, came the words, "It is finished," on the cross. He did this for you. Oh, come with me to Golgotha. For there, heaven on earth is near to you. Oh, look, Jesus took your sins upon himself when he died in pain on the cross as your Savior. He did that for you.